Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and you can hear it in my voice. I am just happy. Happy about a great summer, happy about great times. We had a beautiful Looney Days weekend past us, behind us. And thank you again for tuning in. This is another interesting episode about disc golf, a very trending and actually the fastest growing sport in the United States at this point. I was very amazed about all the details that I received from Brett. You will hear about that in a little bit. So this weekend, August 18th, we are in weekend 33 already. We have lots going on again, and we have in Wadena, the Cruisin' for Kids motorcycle ride. It's time to ride. Ride leaves at noon. Registration starts 9:30 a.m. Wadena. This August 18th. And then also we have the Cormorant Days following here, the Virgus event. Check that out. Saturday, also August 18th. And then in Alexandria, we have the Douglas County Fair starting August 16th. That is Thursday already. So tomorrow. There is a lot going on. That's just a couple highlights that I wanted to share. All the details, again, as always, on lakelifeweekend.com. Daily updated event schedule, stories, news, and all those things to find on our website. And I really much appreciate you tuning in. Now, enjoy our interview with Brett. And have a wonderful weekend ahead. Welcome to our interview part of our podcast today. I'm here with Brett Birch. Hello, Brett.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on a beautiful day. You operate a business that provides disc golf equipment and discs, I understand.
Yeah.
And before we talk about the sport, a little bit of the history and some courses in the area, share with us where you're from and how long you have been in Lakes Country, and who's Brett?
Okay, well, there's a lot that is Brett, but first of all, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
My name is Brett Birch. I grew up in a smaller family out in Colorado.
Okay.
And I have four older brothers, and I kind of grew up playing sports with all of them and kind of being a big outdoors person, too. And, I've been visiting up here in the Lakes Country for as long as I could remember. My family has a cabin out here on the lake, so just a big part of me is growing up outdoors, doing sports, having fun with my family and mm-hmm. all my friends. And so that's kind of where I became myself, was through those. And it's kind of hard to explain exactly, but the important thing is that I love family, and I learned to love people over time. At first, I was a very introverted person, but I did a little bit of leadership development for a couple of years, and so through that, I was able to put myself out there more and learn more about people and the value in people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what encompasses who I am now, because I like to try to meet people for who they are and where they're at, and experience mm-hmm. different things. And so,
how long have you been in Minnesota?
I've only been in Minnesota 1 year now.
Really? So you just arrived. Welcome.
Yep. Thanks.
No, I mean it. So you come from Colorado, and you're an outdoor... Colorado is a very outdoor state as well, right?
Right.
I have actually never been there, but in Denver at the airport. But so you came here... How old are you, if I may ask?
I'm 26.
Oh, you're extremely young. So you vacationed here with your family in the past, and you found Minnesota, and then you arrived a year ago to just open a disc shop?
No, not just to open a disc shop, but that was one of my main goals as well, because visiting up here, I also saw there was a need for it.
Okay.
And I was kind of very deep into the sport back home in Colorado. I was the president and one of the co-founders of a club.
Okay.
And so I served as president and treasurer and stuff like that for 4 years.
Really?
So that's kind of where I, you know, really fell in love with the community aspect of disc golf itself. And, you know, I saw the need for a good disc golf shop up here.
Yeah.
And just, I thought about that as an idea to fill that void, but also I wanted to move up here for new opportunities in general, not just disc golf, but also I frame houses and stuff like that. And
okay.
I just kind of wanted to do something new and fresh. And,
okay.
And I have family on my mom's side up here.
Oh, I see.
So that was part of my decision to come up here to this lakes area, was I have them to kind of...
Some ties, some roots?
Yeah, some ties here.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So you're not that alone?
No.
Oh, totally yeah. Alone, I mean.
Right.
I have 1,000 question marks right now. I think it's fascinating. I have to find a structure. So you have... When did you start to disc golf? Because I think it's a fascinating topic. I'm a golfer by heart. I did disc golf myself a little bit. I like it, but it's fairly new, but it isn't. I just learned from you. So tell me a little bit more. When did you start? Like 12, 14, like 10 years ago? When did you disc golf for the first time?
So I started about 9 years ago.
Okay.
The first time, I believe it's between 8.5 and 9 years. The first time I started was between my junior and senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I was introduced to it by my friends and my older brother, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And also there were a couple guys playing, but I didn't really go try it until he came down from Oregon,
okay,
where he was at the time. And that's where I was introduced to it and just kind of slowly started playing more and more over time.
On a public course, or on a is there school courses even?
It was a public course.
Mm-hmm.
There are some school courses and stuff like that now.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, they aren't as popular as public courses,
mm-hmm,
but there are more and more of them popping up into the like physical education programs of schools.
Interesting. Okay, I was actually the first time I played disc golf was in Moorhead, in probably 2006. That is already 12 years ago myself. So interesting. Yeah, I just realized that. And you mentioned, when was disc golf first introduced to the United States?
It was first introduced in like the 1950s and 60s is when it made its transition from just target. They used to do just target courses where they would take the frisbee and aim at, say, a certain pole somewhere off in the distance. But the main guy that did the big push to make it a competitive, legit sport, his name was Steady Ed Hedrick.
Okay.
And he created
60 years ago.
Yeah.
More. Wow.
Yeah. So he's the one that created the sport.
The sport. Rules.
Yeah. The basket. So there's the catching device in disc golf, which is called the basket now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then it was coined the disc pole holder.
Okay.
Or, you know, something like that. That's kind of a paraphrase.
It's just a pole, and then I think it's a circle, and there's like chains on it, and there's a basket on the bottom, so you kind of have it land. It's not a hole like a golf course. It's a...
Yes, correct. It's a physical apparatus with you have a pole in the center. There's the bottom basket that serves as the catching device.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the big target area is the top, and it's also a circle, very similar to the same diameter, and it has chains that carry from the top of it to kind of right down to the top of what you would consider the cage. So that's the target itself, is those chains in the bottom basket.
Yeah, catches the disc as it arrives and then kind of falls and lands into that basket.
Yep.
That's when you make the hole.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, it has to be resting in the chains or in the basket for it to count.
Ah, okay.
And so, yeah, I know you said you're familiar with golf.
Mm-hmm.
So it's scored the same way, you
mm-hmm
know, the least amount of shots or throws
mm-hmm
is the winner on the hole or the overall course.
And we have 9-hole courses and 18-hole courses, and then we also have the par system?
Yes.
Okay, so it's
yep
very similar to the golf sport by rules?
Yes.
It's just a different device?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's 60 years old. So when it started to just arrive at a pole, and then the you described that the net arrived, or like with the chains. And where did it happen? In California or?
Yeah, Arizona? California.
Oh, of course.
Yep. Yeah, that was the main push, was out in California. Mm-hmm. And from there, he had a few other players that he would meet with over time from different areas of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the big main push of making disc golf legitimate was, in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And California is still one of the biggest areas for it. And it's also very big on the eastern slope too.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle of the country is kind of filling in over time, and it's becoming more popular. And it becomes very, very popular in areas with a lot of geographical diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So where in golf you have a lot of clear fairways to try to drive the golf ball through.
Sure.
For disc golf, we like a lot of variety. So elevation changes and trees to try to throw around and navigate through,
mm-hmm,
is what makes our sport so interesting and such a big difference between disc golf and golf, for instance.
Yeah, so, I can see it.
So, yeah, so, you know, in areas, mountainous areas or lakes, like here in the lakes area, there's a lot of water hazards to make things interesting and play around. So, so everything in the middle of the country is kind of filling in and becoming more popular.
Huh. But it is growing.
Yes, fast.
It is growing fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has arrived here. I know that Moorhead, where I played, that was 12 years ago again, they had a public course there, south of downtown by the river there, I believe. And I think there's also one in Oak Grove in Fargo side. I think there's also a course that is kind of super hidden. So am I right that the communities, the municipalities, the cities saw, because it's a fairly inexpensive way to actually convert an existing park, right? And just put up some holes?
Baskets. Baskets.
So is it true that there's a majority that's just public and the community is just like, hey, let's just add a discourse to our community service? Or like, how? Why is it growing so quickly? I mean, like,
yes.
Who's putting them up?
Yes, that is true. And a lot of them are public municipalities, and also clubs sometimes come together and talk to their townships and try to get something going to get one installed. But it's growing so fast because of the diversity of the sport, and also because the cost effectiveness. And so
what do you mean by that?
Cost effectiveness in a general broad perspective for disc golf,
mm-hmm,
the equipment is less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's less expensive to maintain, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And if townships are already maintaining a park area and not getting a lot of use out of it, they can put that into play. They can put a disc golf course in.
So we have more attractivity to that space.
Yes, exactly. So they're getting more use out of one area, and just making it a well-rounded park versus,
mm-hmm,
a huge picnic area.
Used by seven families a week.
Right.
And now we have 70 young people or older people. I mean, there's no age limit, right? I mean, like, you just have to be able to throw that disc.
Yeah, correct. There's no age limit to disc golf.
Yeah.
And they even make different discs that have different flight patterns. And they
Before
also
we get
are
technical, because I think I see people with a whole bag full. Let's mm-hmm talk technical in a moment.
Okay.
Let's stay in Minnesota. Do you know how many courses we have? Is it 10? Is it 100? Is it 1,000?
I do not know. I know it's closer to 100.
100 courses.
If not more. A buddy of mine could tell me that, but I'm not sure. I haven't lived here long enough, mm-hmm, and done the research in Minnesota specifically.
Do you know in Colorado by any chance?
In Colorado, it was right about 80.
80 courses,
yep,
in the whole state.
Yeah, and growing. So mm-hmm there, it's probably higher than that now.
Mm-hmm.
But
we already have 100 courses roundabout in Minnesota.
Yeah, I would say so. It's right there within 10 to 20 probably.
I know that Breckenridge even has one. I mean, it's a small community in Breckenridge, in that island there, whatever, where they have the fairgrounds. They installed it. I believe they installed it last year, or maybe two. So even a small community like that, let's say, in parentheses,
yeah,
have one. And I'm sure, I don't know, Fergus Falls has one. Where's the closest one, Lakes Country, let's say, we're in Perm right now. Where's the closest one nearby here?
So the closest one in Perm is right here in Perm, over on, yeah, it's called Arvig Park.
Oh, and Arvig Park is a good...
Yep, and it's an 18-hole course.
Really?
That's the closest to Lakes Country here, but it depends on how broad you say Lakes Country, because there's also one in Detroit Lakes.
Oh, there is one in Detroit.
Yeah, there's over in Wadena, and, you know, there's quite a few in the area. A lot of these small cities, how you were talking about Breckenridge, too, they also have them as well.
Yeah, I think we should make a list and list them all to find. But okay, so we have and they're usually free to use, correct?
Correct.
We just go there.
Yep, and there, disc golf's kind of in a transition point as well, where other people are doing pay to play disc golf courses, and so there's a couple popular ones down in the Twin Cities that are coined as pay to play. They aren't public. Mm-hmm. They're on private land, and you go and you know, pay them your entry fee basically to join the park and play there.
And they're worth it? Are they especially good, or what's...
Yes, they are worth it. If they're pay to play, they're generally higher maintained, and they actually
more
care
tricky.
About it, more challenging of a course.
Mm.
So there is kind of a transition point happening in the sport of disc golf where not all of them are free.
Mm.
And sometimes townships will do it as a pay-to-play to pay for equipment for the baskets sometimes.
Sure.
And I've seen that in a couple areas. It's not too common, though. You generally have to have a very good area to create a very attractive disc golf course to get the pull from the community to actually come play and make it worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be at a very competitive, highly competitive level to be able to work as a pay-to-play course.
Yeah.
So traditionally, you're going to see a lot more public courses.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can see that. And you mentioned earlier to me, there's one of the nicest courses in the nation. We have it in Minnesota?
Yes, sir. It's called Blue Ribbon Pines.
Okay, and where is that located?
So that's down in East Bethel, just north of the cities.
And it's an 18-hole course?
Yep, 18-hole course. It's very, very, very nice, very maintained, very challenging.
Public?
Yeah, no, that's one of the pay-to-play courses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there, like, tournaments?
Yes. Yeah, they do tournaments down there. I believe there's at least 3 or 4 a year down there on that course. One of the biggest ones is called the Minnesota Majestic.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have the opportunity to get down there to play it this year. I'm hoping to next year.
Uh-huh.
But a good buddy of mine went down there and played it, and he just absolutely loves the course, and he did really well this year, so that was awesome.
So you can, is there something like the PGA already, or you think there will be an organization which does like a professional, semi-professional tournament in the future?
Yes, so...
Really?
So there is a sanctioning body, so to speak, like how the Professional Golf Association has theirs. You know, we have the Professional Disc Golf Association.
Really?
Yep, and it just transitioned or broke over 100,000 members last year.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually kind of neat because everybody was in a race to be the 1,000th.
100,000th?
Yeah, to be the 100,000th. member. So there was a bunch of people that signed up all at once to try to be the number 100,000.
That would have won the car. No.
Yeah, I don't know if they won anything special or not, but
it
was just very neat to see that. So
that's
yeah.
That's a big followership.
Right. So there is a big sanctioning body when it comes to professional tournaments and things like that. And yeah, that's called the Professional Disc Golf Association.
Really? Okay. That's interesting. You think we will see it on TV eventually in 5 years?
Yes. Yes, it's actually it's actually transitioning right now. In the last 2 years, there's been more publicizing of the sport than ever before. And so a lot of times it's even been on ESP Top 10 Highlights.
Really?
Yeah, because and mostly what pops up there is hole-in-ones. They're very, very common, more so than golf.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times those are really, really exciting and awesome and draw a lot of energy from the whole sport.
Yeah.
And so it's been really neat to see that kind of happening.
Yeah.
And yes, there is a couple of companies that are doing productions of the tournaments, the bigger national tour series tournaments.
Really?
Yep. There's a couple of them out there. One that I watch quite a bit is called Jomez Productions. And so, yeah, if you get on, a lot of times they'll put them on YouTube and things like that, where you can hop on there and look at them.
Huh. I think it's fascinating. So let's talk a little bit more equipment. If I was to say like, hey, I want to try that out, do I need 9 discs? Is it good probably to just buy one disc for $19.99 and then play the course here in Perm? Or what would you suggest? Like, what is an entry level set?
If you're
two.
Yeah, I would suggest 3.
Okay.
yeah, and it depends. It depends how serious you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to go play and kind of figure it out,
mm-hmm.
yeah, 1 is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would suggest a mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can throw decent
distances,
mm-hmm. and it's more controllable and easier to learn with,
mm-hmm.
From a beginner aspect.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will buy a driver to start because they want to be able to throw really far.
Is it a bigger disc or is it the same?
It's
just weight? Explain to us.
It's different aerodynamics.
Uh-huh.
So the weight categories are generally the same in between. The most popular is in between 165 and 175 grams.
Grams,
yes.
Metric.
So you'll see them in grams. But the biggest difference is going to be your aerodynamics.
Uh-huh.
And the sharper edged ones, they have what's called a rim and a flight plate. The rim is the very outside of the disc that has the most difference in the way they fly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and those can be very hard to throw depending on which model you get.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a beginner standpoint, if somebody was to come in and get 3 to start, say they were very serious,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would give them 3 very straight, easy to learn with discs, because it just is a good principle to learn basics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's basics and fundamentals to every key sport.
Of course.
You know, it's I've seen a lot of people get into the sport and then fall away from it because they didn't learn the basics and
the controlling of, like, I mean, I say I'm a golfer, but I don't own a driver. I just fail with a big driver. I have those hybrids and they're super cheaters, but I get my 180 to 210 yards with just this hybrid thing and it goes fairly straight. So if I'm actually throwing, so my arm is actually the club in a way.
Yes,
my hand needs to control the disc in a manner where I don't slice it or I do slice it, right? So
yes.
It's actually a certain skill that I need to bring to the table in a way, right?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, that's very fair to say that's true. You know, there's a lot of ways you can manipulate
uh-huh.
the disc golf equipment with your body.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's your main way of imparting your energy into the disc to
mm-hmm.
make it fly
mm-hmm.
correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't learn how to make it fly correctly, it doesn't matter if you have a disc that's supposed to go straight or that's supposed to hook or fade really hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a lot of basics to it, but there's 2 main ways of manipulating a disc golf disc. One is with your body and throwing it in a certain with a certain technique,
mm-hmm.
and the second is picking out a disc selection.
Okay.
So whereas you could go from a 3-wood to a 5-wood or something for a maximum distance golf drive,
yeah,
you can do the same thing with disc golf. And I'm not very familiar with regular ball golf, so forgive
okay.
me if that's not
no,
accurate.
No,
but
I think we get it.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, so that's the main way to do it, and that's what
the shape. They're all kind of the same weight, but the shape is then, I guess, wind resistance or certain things, sharper edge, like, it's the aerodynamics. So yeah. How is, like, a putter, I guess?
Yeah.
It's, like, the short distance would be, is it more dull or, like, more, it has more resistance, so it flies slower, I guess?
Yes,
so kind
yeah.
of rolls on the, because we don't have a green, like, a mowed green, which is a different surface. Yeah, we have the fairway, we have the rough, we have the greens, the pre-green, whatever.
Yeah.
So we do it solely with the device, disc.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the putter?
Yeah, so the putter, it's broader on the edge, how
uh-huh.
I talked about the rim versus the flight plate.
Bigger?
The rim is going to be bigger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, and that's, it also, it flies straighter, typically,
uh-huh.
and a little slower,
uh-huh.
And a big reason for that broad rim is to hit the chains and the catching device and the baskets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's the traditional putter versus, I guess that's where the difference, the big difference comes from is changing that to become more accurate on the green versus having a very manicured smooth slope, you know, instead of having that, the variable is you in your hand throwing the broad rim disc. And just like regular golf, your format changes and you try to throw it less and more guide it and push it towards the basket versus a big throw.
Yeah, I get it. I can see it. So what's your handicap?
It just depends on which course I'm at. It varies a little bit.
Okay.
But typically, I like to say I'm around -3 to -4.
Oh, really?
Most days, yeah. I'm not.
So you're a pro.
I'm close to pro. I could play pro, but I wouldn't be able to win as many big sanctioned tournaments. I'm not at that level yet. I'm more of a advanced player still.
So amateur, I think that's an
amateur. So yeah, in the amateur divisions you have, you know, recreational, intermediate, and advanced. And then from there you go right into professional, which they call open. And that's when you play for the big money and you're really, really competitive, and typically they would be scoring a lot better on average, their handicap. You know, they would be shooting around -8 to -9 on an 18-hole course some days.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's where the consistency over time in the professional category versus the amateurs, that's where they outrun everybody, is in the perfection, chasing the perfection.
Yeah. I didn't think it would. I want to buy a disc so I can meet you in Battle Lake?
In Otter Tail.
Otter Tail. Why am I thinking Battle Lake? On Otter Tail town.
Yeah.
In that little downtown area there?
Yeah, it's actually on 123 Park Circle. I'm not actually down in the commercial area.
Okay.
It's at my residency as well.
Okay. And you operate a little pro shop.
Yes.
And you sell equipment out of it.
Yep.
And give advice,
correct.
Or do you give classes?
Yeah, I can also do classes and lessons. And, you know, I haven't had a lot of that yet. I'm still kind of trying to generate a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still growing in the area. But, yeah, I'm more than willing to do lessons. And that's I would highly suggest doing some lessons with me so I can just teach you basics and fundamentals instead of just leaving you out into the rough by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have a friend in Detroit Lakes, actually. It must have been 2 years ago that he mentioned, I'm in this disc golf, just came to me again. What did he call it? A group or whatever. So they play every Tuesday night or something. Do you know of groups that meet regularly, kind of like a bowling group or like those men's golf outings in the past? So do you know of when they meet regularly? Is there some sort of meetup in the area?
Yes, there is. And right now in Detroit Lakes, it's Monday nights.
Uh-huh.
And they're just called the Detroit Lake Disc Golf League.
Okay.
And they meet around 5:30 and start playing in between 5:30 and 6.
Uh-huh.
And so they go in certain groups and stuff like that, and they'll all finish up. So there's a couple in the area. Detroit Lakes is one of the more popular ones, and also in Fergus Falls.
Oh, really?
They have one out there. And that's probably one of my favorite courses in the area. Fergus Falls.
Okay. Where's that located?
It's over in Day Lagoon Park. I don't know the specific address.
Mm-hmm, but
it's
Google it. I mean,
you'll
find it on the internet.
Yeah, Google Day Lagoon Park, and it's out there. It starts over on the, kind of by the lakeside.
Mm-hmm.
And so there aren't a lot of signs up yet, but they did get some in. And so it can be kind of tough to find the first hole for some courses.
Oh.
But, you know, it's really great to see the community helps out with that, too. If there's somebody out there for the first time lost and somebody sees them, they'll generally help guide them to the right one. If there isn't a map course or a course of the map, I should say.
Yeah.
But it's over there kind of by the lakeside, and you have to drive into the park a little ways to find it.
Okay.
But that's actually a pretty big course. It's 27 holes.
Really?
Yep.
When do they meet?
They meet Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
Wednesday at 5:30, and they start playing about 6.
And how many people can we expect? Is it 10 friends, or is it 20 or 30? How many people usually arrive?
It's usually around 10 to 20.
Okay.
Is basically the average, and there's more people that show up. It just varies and depends on their work schedules.
Sure.
So a lot of times they'll become a member of it, but they can't make it every time.
Sure.
And
so you sign up for the league in a way?
Yes.
It's organized.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you sign up for the league and it's organized, and a lot of times they'll do what's called tags. And that's a that's basically your membership stamp, and it shows how good you play some days. And mm-hmm. and there's a couple different variables and ways you can do it. And the way I like the most is the tags are up for grabs every time. So the best player walks away with the highest number tag.
Okay.
So if you play the best, you walk away with the number one tag, if it's there. And then it just trickles down.
Uh-huh.
So that's a really good way to be competitive mm-hmm. in your area and kind of get out and play and have fun with the community.
Okay. Do they play in the winter at all?
They do.
Really?
Not as much up here.
Yeah. Okay.
But there are some people that get out and play in the winter. I myself still do.
Really?
Yeah, it's my favorite hobby, so I still get out in the winter and play.
Okay.
But the numbers drop dramatically.
Of course, yeah. It was just a trick, a fun question.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot harder to find your discs in the snow.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I know golf, we have like red balls or neon golf balls for snow days. I guess we have red discs for the winter. But yeah, that was really interesting. And people can connect to you with, do you have bigcatdiscgolf.com or what's your website?
Yes, I have, it's called www.bigcatdiscgolf.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty easy to find. Just go to the right, to the main URL and type that in and it should come up. So, and then also you can contact me by phone at any time. That's really my primary contact. So,
yeah. You have a 218 number or
yeah, it's 218-457-2566.
Uh-huh.
And that's, if you have a quicker question or something like that, that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to get on there and look at the products and stuff, that my website's the best way to just look at them quick. And mm-hmm. if you have any questions, just give me a call. Or
you're usually in Fergus Falls Wednesday nights?
Yes.
Okay.
I try to get to Fergus Falls Wednesday nights and Detroit Lakes Monday nights.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I can't always make it due to my other work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do my best to be consistent and get up there and join in on the fun.
Yeah. Well, I think that was really interesting. I'm intrigued. I want to check that out. Very easy. It could be a very casual sport without a big investment. And I really enjoy nature too. So walking a course, like that, brings me outside and I like that. Yeah, thank you very much. Was there anything else you wanted to share? Did I miss anything about the sport?
No, I think we've covered most bases and just, I mean, how you're talking about, it's great to get outside and do something like that. It's a very well-rounded sport for many reasons.
Yeah.
You get out, you can do something healthy, and it's very good mentally, too, if you want to get out and learn and meet new people, I should say, and learn something new. It's really fun. It's really exciting. And once you hit that learning curve, there's so many different aspects that it just, people become addicted to disc golf because it's so wonderful and new to people. And it's very eye-opening and, you know, it can be very peaceful. You go out and play early in the morning or it can be very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's all up to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's many different ways to get involved, and we love to see out their plans.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming and sharing your story. And, good luck on your game, and have a wonderful weekend ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.